Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Let me ask you this, because this is a question that God asked an individual in the Bible. God came to him and he said, ask whatever it is that you want, and I will give it to you. Some of you are like, oh, I know who he asked that to, and you're telling somebody because you're so smart. But what would you ask for? You have to tell me. But what would you ask for? You know? Would you look at some particular need that you have in life and say, Lord, if you could just, you know, make me wealthy. Or, Lord, I'm sick. Of all things, could you make me healthy? Or you're a young adult or more, and you're single and you want a spouse. Oh, God, give me a husband. Careful, he might give you what you ask for. You know, what is it that you would tell him? Sometimes the immediate need is what gets our attention, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, there was a transition of leadership between David and one of his sons, Solomon. And Solomon was now transitioning and becoming the successor of David. He was going to be the king. And God visited him and spoke with him and said to him, Solomon, ask me whatever it is you want and I will give it to you. If we didn't know the answer of what Solomon said, it may influence us to give a different answer. If you know what the answer is that Solomon gave, then it's kind of hard to go against what he did because God was pleased with what he asked. But if we were to be honest, what is it that we would ask for? Solomon responded this way. He says, because I'm becoming king, above all things, God, I ask that you would give me wisdom so that I could lead your people. He asked for wisdom. God answered and said, I will give it unto you. And because you didn't ask for wealth or the destruction of all of your enemies, and he went through some things like that, he said, I will give you those things also, or I will give you wealth that no other king's wealth would ever be able to be measured to yours. And God gave him even some things that he didn't ask for, because what Solomon asked for, God granted and said, I will give you wisdom. And basically, you have chosen wisely, if we can say it that way. I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about wisdom and our need and the importance of wisdom, regardless of our stage of life. And I'm going to maybe give a perspective on what wisdom in the relationship we can have with her, because as we find out in the scripture, as wisdom is talked about, she is referred to as, well, wisdom is referred to as a she or her. Now, before all of you women get real arrogant in this room, it doesn't mean that every woman is wise. All right? And it certainly doesn't mean that every man is wise. So, it's kind of like I'm going to marriage these things together, wisdom and this female context of wisdom, and marriage these things together to understand how you and I can maybe have a little insight this morning, obviously with God's help, about wisdom in our life and our relationship with her. I want to read to you, starting out, and we'll look at probably a few passages in Proverbs, but Solomon writes in Proverbs chapter 4, and I'm going to make reference to some verses. If you can't quite keep up, I'm going to go through some of them a little quickly just for the sake of time. You can always listen to the podcast online in a few days and write those down, play, pause it, or you can just jot them down today and you can look at them on your own. But Proverbs chapter 4, he writes it this way. He says, hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, he goes, now this is great that he would include this in here. He says, now, you know, I was a son once too. In other words, I get it. I understand when a father's trying to impart to you wisdom and give you teaching and train you and do those things. You know, Solomon's saying, I get it. I was a son once, okay? My father said things to me. So, you know, I don't know that Solomon was, you know, pretty much an angelic boy where he was just like, oh, father, tell me more. You know, he's 7, 8 years old, 12 years old, 16 years old, just saying, oh, father, teach me more. I just love it. I don't know that he was like that. I'm guessing there was some humanity involved in him, like the rest of us, where, you know, as fathers and daughters and, as sons and daughters and our fathers and mothers try to, you know, teach us something, or they begin to tell us something that they already told us one time before, or two times before, or every week, excuse me, it seems like, you know, where we go, yeah, yeah, and I get it, I know what you're going to say, yeah, I know, or we roll our eyes, or we fake to be attentive, like, yeah, oh, great, you know, and walk away and go, whatever, you know, or, yeah, I know, I get it, you're always telling me this. You know, I like that Solomon wrote that in here because he's saying, you know, I know what it is to be a son who is being told and taught by a father. And it helps me, it lends to the fact that these aren't just not only scriptures breathed by God, but there's humanity in it that he used. And so he's saying, hear now my instructions as a father, and I remember I was once a son with my father, the only one in the sight of my mother. He taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. It's almost like, as we're getting into these verses now, it's almost like he's talking as if wisdom was a spouse to us. I mean, listen to this. As if we have this living relationship with wisdom. It says, don't forsake her, she'll keep you. It's kind of like a wife. You know, don't forsake her, she'll keep you. Of course, that's when it's an operation, you know, their will is submitted to God and all of that. You know, so do not forsake her, she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. It's kind of like your wife or your spouse. You know, prize them highly, and they will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Hear, my son, accept my words that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Guard her, for she is your life. He's talking about wisdom and passing it on to his son, but I look at some of these passages and phrases, and it's almost like he's describing that you and I should be married to wisdom. It is our helper. You look in Genesis chapter 2, and you'll see where God comes to Adam and says, I've got to make you a helper. There is no helper in all creation at this point. There is no helper that is fit for you. And so God realizes this and comes to the place where he puts Adam in a deep sleep, takes out a rib, closes it up, takes this rib and creates woman and brings her before Adam, and he calls her woman. And, you know, God says, I am going to make you a helper. Wives in this place, if your husband is here with you, and if he's not, you can kind of pretend he's sitting next to you, and you can just turn to them and say, I'm your helper. Go ahead, do it. If he's not next to you, just say it. Women, wives, come on. I'm your helper. Tell him. Again. Again, he was in the first service, but I want him to really get it. I'm your helper. See? I'm your helper. And now, husbands, I want you to turn to them and go, and I'm glad that God has given me help. Say it. Say it. I am glad God has given me help. God knows I need it. Okay? Proverbs 18:22, it says, a man who finds a wife finds a good thing. Now, please, don't take this out of context if you're a woman here and offended, like, oh, how dare the scripture talk to me like I'm some kind of possession or object. That is not the context. All right? He who finds a wife finds a good thing. Darren, turn to your wife, look at her and say, you're my good thing. Yeah. I found my good thing. Well, she became my good thing 29 years ago tomorrow. She was in the early service. She's not in this service, so, you know, you can't give her condolences in person today. But and if I can take this thought, and because wisdom is referred to as she and her in so many places, we'll look at another place, but in the way that context was written, it's almost like we're supposed to be married to wisdom. It's to be our helper. Whether you're a man and woman in this place, that, you know, you're going to have to kind of understand that I'm speaking a little bit from a man's perspective, but it is about humanity and wisdom being married together. You know, think of it in this context that, you know, wisdom is not you check in and check out. It's supposed to be like, you know, we go to bed at night with wisdom. We wake up with wisdom. We sit down and have our coffee and we are listening to wisdom. We have a relationship with her, all of us. And if we embrace her, she will keep us. If we exalt wisdom, she will lift us up. And so this idea of being married to wisdom, kind of like, well, this is my wisdom moment. I have to read something wise, think about it, and then I'm done for the day. That's not how this goes. This is about a relationship like marriage, relationship with wisdom. It's, you know, we go to bed with wisdom. We wake up with wisdom. We have our breakfast with wisdom. We're driving and we're listening to wisdom. And what would wisdom say to us today? And, you know, it's just like your spouse. I don't know if you call and text each other or email each other, or, you know, however that works in your relationship with each other through the day, or you do this instant chat Snapchat. My son always shakes his head. The other day I said instant Snapchat or something like that. I don't have it, but my wife was using it with one of my daughters. And I said, oh, is that instant Snapchat? And my son turns to me and said, did you just say instant Snapchat? I said, no. I had to kind of guess, was it Snapchat or instant chat, whatever it is. I don't know how this works, but, you know, beyond the moments of where you're physically together in proximity, that you still think about them and you may hear their voice telling you something or whatever it is. It's my wife. She sent me a picture text yesterday. It was this blurry, watery thing that looked kind of like a red light in the back of a vehicle or something. And I texted back and said, cool. I didn't really know what it was. I thought it was some app on her phone that she could take a picture of something and make it like look like it was rainy. You know how they have these apps to do that? You know, she's kind of into all this stuff. I'm not. So later on, she texted me and said, well, that was, you know, you told me that I need to go get my car washed. And I just took a picture, and it was that red light in the thing that, you know, doing the touch-free car wash thing. She took a picture of it. She goes, I wonder why you just said cool. I was wanting you to know that I listened to what you said and I was, you know, doing this. It was this communication between us and we weren't in this. I said, oh, yeah, way to go. Now, thank you. You know, because I kind of got on her about not having, you know, not washing her car often enough, you know. And I know some of you are thinking, well, if you want to wash, you should be taking that for her and you should be. Well, I plead this argument that if something happened to me, she needs to know how to put money in the machine to take it through a car wash on her own. So, anyhow. Anyways, so there's this communication that needs to happen randomly through our day when you, you know, you hear his voice telling you something, you hear her voice telling you something, and, you know, you're just going through and you contact, you're living with each other. It's like this relationship that we should have with wisdom. Is that we're married to her. We're one with her. That our thoughts become their thoughts. Okay? It's that kind of thing that Solomon's trying to convey to us that he has learned and that he is going to be mindful of. It's like wisdom is our helper. It is like God created wisdom to be a help to us. Just like God created women to be a help to us as men. It's not good that man should live alone. So he made her to reveal his kindness and his love and his concern and his help for us. And it's the same thing that wisdom is a gift to all of us in this room, whether we're male or female. In Proverbs, which passage do I want to go to? I'd like to turn to, Proverbs chapter 1. Sorry, 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1. Now listen to this. Listen to how Solomon writes about wisdom here. Listen to this. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud, to you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, meaning hear with your ears in case you're not following along. For I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right, for my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instructions instead of silver and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than jewels. And all that you may desire in this life cannot compare with her. Once again, this pursuit of wisdom and to forsake everything else, you know, and make sure that wisdom and pursuing her is the priority. If we can once again, because of this imagery of, you know, her, she, wisdom, being created to be our helper, that we could understand. Those of you who have fallen in, and I'll use the term fallen in love as if that's really accurate, but it's the term we use. Do you remember pursuing her? Do you remember? I mean, you know, you go without food, you go without sleep, you take money that you don't have and spend it to get her something and go out of your way to see her, and somehow in your busyness you make time for her and you find time to go do things. You forsake all this other stuff because none of that has any worth to you compared to her. That's the pursuit. It's the seeking. It's the chasing. You try to do what's right and be cool and be more of who you should become to win her over, and you throw caution to these other things, you know? I mean, I remember spending money that I should probably not have spent, or spent, money, that I probably didn't have to do things with her and for her and, all of those things. Because I was in pursuit. I desired her, wanted her. What if we were to look at wisdom in the same way, guys, back here too? What if you were to pursue wisdom like you pursued the young gal? Isaac, I'm not here to embarrass you in any way, shape, or form, but I'm going to bank that, you like me a little and you're forgiving. He communicated with Brock after being at college for a day or two, and Isaac spoke of, oh, yeah, I love this class. I don't really know what the class is about, but there are a couple really cute girls in this class. He didn't call and say, Brock, you wouldn't believe the words of wisdom that I found in this class. He didn't call and say, man, I got to share this with you. Listen to this wisdom. If we would, and that's called being a, red-blooded guy, no matter what country you're from. Okay? But the context is, if we were to consider pursuing wisdom and feeling about wisdom like that in all of our lives. This is not pointing a finger at some kind of flaw you have, by the way. I get it. Okay? That is not. But if we could, in this imagery of her and she and calling out to us, understand, wisdom has a voice. And wisdom, scriptures, it's calling out to us. Wisdom has been calling out to you. Listen, when my wife calls out to me, I respond most of the time. Sometimes because I love her, and sometimes just because it's the right thing to do. Oh, don't act so holy around me like you, whatever. It's not like I ever really ignore her if she calls out to me. Of course I'm going to respond. But my vigor and response time may vary depending on how her voice sounds, right? Right? Ran! Boom, I'm there. Okay? When it's, Randy! I'm not sure it was her. I should wait. See if I hear it again. It's okay. So, but wisdom has a voice. It's been calling. Listen, it has been calling to us. Turn to the person next to you and say, wisdom has been calling out to you. It calls in the streets, in the square, at the town, all in our life. So it makes me think this. If I have not been listening to the voice of wisdom calling me, what voice have I been listening to and living under its influence? That's the question. I mean, God wants to give us wisdom and sends wisdom to be our helper, and it calls to us. And yet, if we don't respond to wisdom's call and this relationship that I can have with wisdom, that you and I can have with her, what voice am I listening to? What voice am I subjecting myself to? Proverbs chapter 1. I'm going to read a couple of verses to you. Verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street, and in the markets she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will you scoffers delight in scoffing and fools hate knowledge? And it just goes on that she has been calling. This is the beauty of this. It's not like you and I, we have our what we call a devotional timer where we set aside a few moments to read our Bible, pray, talk with the Lord, and maybe if you know, we're really spiritual, we might pause and listen. So, you know, we call it our devotional time. Maybe you call it something else, my private time, whatever you call it. And you have these moments. We expect in those moments that God would reveal something to us and would, you know, give us wisdom or give us insight or hope or peace, something, okay? But here, it's not even talking about that she just calls to us during a time we set aside. It's wisdom is calling into the busyness of our life and day and evening and night and all around the marketplace and this public places, that wisdom has been calling to us to have a relationship with her and to listen to her and for her to be a helper to us to make good choices and live in wisdom and not just left to my own schemes or my own manipulative thoughts, trying to get my way and just what I want and try to make it look like it's okay. And what about in the conflict of a relationship where, you know, you're listening to them for a moment, but you have this other voice that's in the back of your mind grinding and, you know, working you over on how you're going to interpret what they're saying and what you can say back. And all of a sudden, is that really the voice of wisdom? Or is it our voice or the voice of the enemy? Or is it the voice of our carnal nature because what they have said we've taken personal or we've been stung somewhere in our past before and this kind of sounds a little bit like that or at least the feelings are similar even if the words are different and we're starting to, you know, get ready to respond or blurt things out. Is that really the voice of wisdom that we're living under the influence of? Wisdom's calling to you in that moment. It's calling to me. Will I listen to her? Will I trust God enough that even if my mind, it doesn't make sense like it's the best thing to do at the moment, will I trust God enough to crucify and put away those other voices and listen solely to the voice of wisdom so that I can have long life? So that I can have a life of peace, that I can have a life filled with hope, that I can have a life that is filled with the prosperity. And I'm not talking just monetarily, but just in every way, okay, to have a prosperous, peaceful, content, fulfilled life with the wisdom of his perspective on what is valuable and what isn't. Am I willing to listen to her and be one with her, like be married to her? So that I can speak what she speaks. At the time she says speak it. And in the right attitude in which she instructs me to speak it. Or her telling me, keep your mouth closed. Listen. Be wise. Overlook an offense. Don't respond when they're trying to push your buttons and get you agitated to make a mistake and respond in your carnality. What voice am I listening? Am I listening to her voice? Or am I listening to a voice from the past? Am I listening to something I've said before? Something that was said to me? Something, the voice back here that says, oh, you're justified, let them have it. Take vengeance. I mean, that's not the voice of wisdom. Will I be one with her? Will I listen to her? Will I do as she instructs me? I want us to look at another passage here. I don't think I read to you from Proverbs chapter 4, did I? Did I? I did? Oh, I did. That's where I started. Thank you. Thanks for keeping track for me. Voice calling to us. Her voice. Listen, there's other voices that call to us. I want to look at this contrast in, you know, as it talks about wisdom throughout Proverbs. You know, it's interesting in Proverbs that you can read a passage of it, of a chapter, and it's kind of all bringing you back to this one point. And then there's some isolated verses that have points just all on their own. I mean, it's amazing. It's an amazing book inspired by the Holy Spirit on how to live our life and wisdom. But there's other voices that call to us. And what voice are we listening to? There's a contrast. If you look at Proverbs chapter 5, and there's other places, but chapter 5 and 6, verse 3, it says this. Now, don't get, run away here with this. I'm gonna bring this into context for us. Because we were talking about wisdom being a her and a voice calling to us. And a voice that is noble and it is right. And there's nothing crooked in what wisdom, what she says to us. But now look at this in Proverbs chapter 5. Here's a little glimpse. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path of hell. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it. You look at chapter 6, verse 26, and it reads like this. Well, I'll go to verse 25. We'll go to verse 25. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, and do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. For the price of a prostitute is only a loaf of bread, but a married woman hunts down a precious life. Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. None who touches her will go unpunished. The context, we quickly think, oh, here's the noble woman, and here's the harlot or the prostitute. And, this one calls to me, but this one also has words, and the words, they drip like honey. They sound so sweet, but in the end, they lead to death. You know, it's not just about literal women. It is this wisdom, her, of how to live and what's right. And then it's all the other voices that kind of sound good and appeal to our flesh. But they are not the voice of wisdom. There are these other voices that call to you and I. Sometimes they come in imagery. Sometimes they come in a fancy quote. Sometimes they come on some decal. Sometimes it's just us recalling something and some voice. It's all these voices. But there's only one voice of wisdom. And she calls to us. And if God has made it so that wisdom can call to us at any place in our life that she is calling, and he has designed her to be our helper, and talks about that we should pursue her because nothing else in life can compare to her, we better consider that maybe there's something to this. And what voice am I listening to? Listen, consider your life. I consider my life. Choices that I've made. Between which voices have I been listening to? What kind of trouble have I gotten myself into because I did not allow myself to hear or obey and submit myself and trust God enough to do what he called wisdom? Instead, I did what I called wisdom, maybe, folly, or justified what I was doing, or it's not that bad, or it's not. Listen, look at consider the troubles we have encountered in our life, or that has affected people around us who we love or who we care for, because we did not use wisdom. How many discussions and arguments in your household could really have been avoided from being escalated or becoming something that it should have never become if we would have used some measure of wisdom, greater wisdom? Instead, we kick into, I'm going to prove that I'm right. And I'm not backing off my point of view. And even though it maybe isn't the best point of view, I'm not going to give in to this argument. And I'm going to... Is that really the voice of wisdom? What did you gain by it? What did I gain by it? Do we try to position ourselves between different parties? Not to bring peace, but to manipulate certain things to be at the hub of control of information going in and out so that you can get what you want and walk away and think, gee, you know, that was pretty good. I'm pretty smart. That wasn't wisdom. It wasn't the voice of wisdom. It was you and I scheming, and we didn't win anything by it. We didn't triumph by it. We didn't preserve life by it. Only the voice of wisdom can do that. Only being married to her, having that daily relationship of being one with her, can bring the kind of life that Solomon talks about when we hear her call and hear her voice and do what she says and what she instructs. Wisdom is there to help us. It's not there to kill a good time. It's there to produce life and preserve life and enjoyment of life and be at peace and have hope and bring healing and receive healing. And maybe because of wisdom, we can keep a relationship alive and healthy because we didn't deal with it from a perspective of some other voice. I'm going to speak to you from the book of James, chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Anyone who lacks wisdom, we can ask God, and it says he gives generously without reproach, or basically without favoritism. In other words, oh, well, I really like you, so I'll give you lots of wisdom, and oh, I don't like you so much, so you're not going to get so much. Or, you were born on the other side of the tracks, and I'm not going to give you as much wisdom as that. No. He gives generously to anyone. I don't care what country you're born in. I don't care what color skin you are. I don't care how much money you have or you don't have. I don't care how much hair you have or how much you don't. I don't care if you're tall or you're short. I don't care if you're old or you're young. God does not care. He will give generously wisdom to anyone who asks. There's no favoritism involved. Anyone. And when it says that he gives generously, it should really give us an insight on how much God is for us and how much he's concerned and he cares for us and how much he has provided help for us. He gives it generously. If we ask sincerely, listen, it can be the scenario that says, you know, I don't know what to do with this kid of mine. You know, I've tried this, I've tried that, I've done this, I've had it! Now, I'm sure there's only maybe one or two of you who have ever felt that way about any of your children. But you just, you know, I don't know what to do. You know, you call a friend, you talk to a friend, you call the pastor, you buy books and read on parenting, and you go online and watch a video workshop on parenting a troubled child or difficult child or a stubborn child or a strong-willed child. There's nothing wrong with that. I think that's good. There can be godly counsel in all of this. But it has to still come down to this. Oh, Lord. You know my child. You know me. You know what makes them tick. You know what makes me tick. You know what makes me ticked off. I don't know what to do. Would you please give to me wisdom about this child? Because this child isn't like every other child. There isn't necessarily some general principle that you can use on every difficult child and ta-da, trick, it worked. God, would you please give me wisdom in raising this particular child? I don't know what to do. I don't know what not to do. Please, would you give me wisdom to help me and to help this child? We can get all the counsel and instruction, and it's good, and there's good material. But listen, we still have to come back to this point that God, give me wisdom. It's not like we're in conversation with this child and we say, wait, that rings a bell. Hold still, little Johnny. Just stay right there. I think it was on page 62 or what chapter was it? Just stay right there. I got to refresh it. That's not what we do. We need the inspiration of God's wisdom prior, during, and after the moment on what to do. The same thing with a meeting at work, on the factory floor, in the office, in our marriage, in wherever we're at, with a neighbor, all of this. Wisdom is greater. Listen to me. Look at me right here. Wisdom is greater than what your annual salary will be. It is more valuable than what you will make monetarily in life. You want to date somebody? Date wisdom. I spoke to you earlier. I said, hey, how's things going? You know, he's back visiting, whatever, and kind of training for ministry and doing all this stuff he's doing. Exciting. I said, hey, any girls? No, I don't want to be distracted right now. I felt like taking a crown and sitting it upon thy head. Well, don't tell me that now, and I'm taking the crown back. He said, well, there's only two girls at it in the school in Manpacket. I got news for you. It only takes one. Date wisdom. Date wisdom. Yeah, don't nod yet. I'm telling you, date wisdom. Honey, I know you're a great runner, but date wisdom. Caitlin, date wisdom. I'm telling you, Brock, wherever you went to, date wisdom. In fact, I'll tell you, it's probably the two words that I say or text my children the most. Just two words. You know, we instruct them and tell them a lot of things and all of that. But the thing I probably text them the most or tell them the most when they're pulling out of the driveway, when they're walking out the door, when they're getting in their vehicle, they're running off with their friend, they're going to go shopping, or they're going to make some purchase, they're going to make some decision, or they're going to, whatever. I say, love you, and you know, all those kind of things that we say. And then I put in the two words that I probably use the most. Be wise. Be wise. Because above all that they do, they need wisdom. And there is no wisdom. There is no wisdom apart from God, I'm telling you. There's information and there's knowledge about things. But wisdom to know what to do, when to do it, where to do it, how to handle it. The wisdom of knowing what not to do and the way not to handle it and not at this time. The wisdom to hold your tongue. The wisdom on how to use the tongue. Words. The wisdom of how to hear words coming at you, how to process the words coming at you, how to walk in a circumstance and situation, whether it's produced by someone else or it's just the regular events of life and living here on earth, the wisdom, it is more valuable. The greatest thing I can leave my children is not stuff. But the wisdom and the words over my lifetime that they heard or observed. It's the greatest thing that I can leave them. Because, you know, money and stuff, you can go through like water. Or it can burn and be gone. It can be lost in the market. It can, whatever you do, it's gone. I want them to hear wisdom long after I leave this life. Because it will help them and it will impact their children. And my great-grandchildren who I may never see, or my great-great-grandchildren who I may never meet, if God should tarry, they're still going to be hearing words that I said, that I got from God for my life. Now that's a heritage. It's a heritage. Be wise. I like Brock's response because he's the one that I text probably most about this now because the others are out of my house, at least momentarily. Well, you know how things go. So, he texted me back two words, will do. Now, I don't know if he's got it like on auto reply or whatever, if there's such, but it's you know, will do. And I know that he's going to make mistakes. I know my children are. I know they're not going to do everything wise. I know that they're going to, you know, be flawed in some of their decisions or conduct or whatever. I mean, they come by it naturally. I'm their dad. But there is a Father who gives us perfect wisdom. And if we will have relationship with Him, we can ask Him, and He will dole it out generously without favoritism to the one who asks, the one who listens, the one who will respond in it. He will give it generously. I admire so much, I will tell you this, I admire Harley, Melby, and Doris, formerly Koopman, now Melby, that I mentioned earlier, who got married. I'm not saying they haven't done anything wrong or haven't made mistakes. I don't know all those things, but I will tell you this. They wanted to get married sooner than later, but some of their family said, well, can't we do it in January? Because that's just more convenient because of schedules of family and all of that coming into town and doing those things. They met with me and said they were engaged. And because of some circumstances and physical conditions of Harley, he would have needed to maybe go to a place where he needed some assistance. And that would be on a short-term basis because then he'd be moving into Doris's home and all of this. And they didn't want to be in a place where they're living together and they're believers and they're living together and not married. They don't want to bring a reproach to God. They don't want to bring a reproach to you, their brothers and sisters. They wanted to live under a measure of conviction. Was all the timing perfect on all of this? No, but it was very close. And they came to me and they said, we want you to marry us. And they explained their situation, that basically his furniture is on her front porch waiting to... I said, we don't want to sin. And we don't want anybody to find out about this and be a stumbling block to them or like, this is okay. We know it's not. And I said, are you saying that you would like me to do a private ceremony, ASAP, so that you will not sin against God, go against His word, and create others to stumble over judgment upon your life and therefore taint their perspective of God's, your sincere faith in God and His word, because God's word is very clear on, you know, having sexual intimacy before marriage. And they said, that is kind of what we're hoping you would do. I said, I get it. And Doris spoke up and said, it's not like he couldn't move in and I could wait. She said, but I don't know if Harley can wait. You have to understand, they're old, they're not dead. Okay, you getting this? So I said, you bet. You go get that marriage license, you fill out the stuff, you bring that back, and I will drum up two witnesses for you. Because they were listening to the voice of wisdom. To honor God and do things His way. Was all the timing perfect on everything? Probably not. But I'll tell you this. They got the cart behind the horse as soon as they could. And get things in order. To honor God and to respect Him and to respect you and honor God's word. There's wisdom in it. And there will be life in it. And there will be peace in it. And there will be hope in it. Even though they live in a world where there's a lot of other voices that say, ah, it's okay. Ah, it's all right. Oh, God knows your heart. God knows your commitments. Listen, I get it. And I'm not throwing stones at anybody. I'm just telling you, the day, with God's help, we're listening to wisdom calling to them. Will you and I listen to wisdom calling to us at every point in our life? If God has made it that she can call to us everywhere in our life, I would like to think that it's really important and he's really into helping us. Because he actually loves you. He actually cares about your life. Why don't you stand up with me, please, all over this room. I need to be married to wisdom. And that we would have the kind of wisdom to embrace the call God has upon our life as a believer and in the state of life that we're in. The role that we have as a man, as a woman, a husband, a wife, a parent, a friend, a child, a student, a teacher, a boss, an employee, whatever it is, that we would embrace where we are at and have the wisdom to embrace it. Without complaint and without grieving, and walk in joy and contentment in it. The wisdom to do that, that will bring such peace and life to us that people could see that in us and maybe wonder where and how did we get that? That it may lend itself to us pouring into their life a grace and mercy from God that He has poured upon us. All because we chose wisdom. And to listen to her voice. If you're a man who's a husband, embrace her. That's your decision. Whether she keeps you or not, like Scripture talked about wisdom, if you embrace her, she'll keep you. Listen, I understand her will is involved, but you do your part. Ma'am, you do yours. Wife, you do yours. This is the call, and this is the cause. And if you don't like the role that comes along with the title that you have in whatever relationship you're in, you need to change your mind. Because it's going to cause you grief and affect and cause grief for those around you. Use wisdom. Embrace who God has called you in the place that you're in. You don't have to be an activist on either side, sir or ma'am. You need to be active, fulfilling God's wisdom and call in your life. Okay? Mine. If you're a woman and wife, you're called to be a helper. Then help him. Sir, if you're a husband, allow her to do her job, her calling. Allow her to be a help to you. Don't run her off by your pride and your arrogance. Embrace her. Care for her. Lay down your life for her. Lay down some of your preferences for her sake. You embrace her that way, chances are she'll keep you. That's wisdom calling to us. That when people drive by your house and get snapshots and at work, they go past your workstation, your cubicle, your office, your spot on the factory floor. They go past your desk, your locker. They get a snapshot. And that somehow through these snapshots, they think, you know, there's something about that person that I feel like, I don't know, something about them that's good. There's something about them that's respectful. I know they've gone through a hard time, but man, the way their attitude is and the way they're handling it, at some point, maybe they might just open themselves up to inquire about you or to share something personal from their life because they feel like maybe you have something good to offer because you've listened to the voice of wisdom and you can offer them a grace, a mercy, a hope. List the kindness of listening ears and a genuine heart of compassion towards them. You may not have some great words of wisdom, but you can certainly have an attitude of kindness and warmth to embrace them as a friend, to have some empathy that they too may somehow taste of God in your life, wisdom in your life, that they too might come to know Him.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.